Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask your pardon for my sins and grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, St. Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. There's a story told about a lady in New York who lives in a flat, and she had a cat, and she loved, it was a black cat, and she loved this black cat very much. But then one day the black cat died, and because she had loved her cat very much, she wanted to give it a good burial. But because she lived in a flat, she had no place to bury the cat. But she had a friend in upstate New York, sort of off country, who had a house and had a bit of a garden. And so she asked her friend if she might be able to bury her cat in her garden. So her friend said, fine. So then this lady had to travel there with her cat, and she had a hat box. So she put the dead black cat into a hat box, and she went on her journey. And then she was thinking, well, I want to get some little present for my friend, because she's been very kind to allow me to bury my black cat in her garden. So she went to a department store and she began to look at some little handkerchiefs that were there. She put the hat box down on the counter and she was choosing which handkerchief to buy for her friend. And when she chose it and she looked up, the hat box was gone. Somebody had taken the hat box. So she called the security. And the security said that, well, you see, when people shoplift things, often they go to the washroom and they try on what they have stolen. So they went to the ladies and they found a lady fainted on the floor and a dead black cat beside her. This meditation is about the virtue of temperance, the virtue whereby we control all our desires, all our feelings, all our likes and dislikes. St. Paul says, all things are lawful for me, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are expedient. Not all things are necessary. All things are lawful for me, he says, but I will not be brought under the power of anyone. God has given us a certain freedom. Many things are good and right to do. But not all things are necessary. We don't have to do all the things that our imagination suggests to us. Very healthy to have a certain control. And so the virtue of temperance, what's called a cardinal virtue, a hinge virtue, is the virtue whereby we control our appetites, control our feelings, control our tendencies, our desires, our anger, control our laziness. There are many things in our life that need to be controlled. St. Paul said to the Romans, I exhort you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as a sacrifice, living, holy, pleasing to God, your spiritual service. If you think of any of the great athletes around the world, think of all the great Kenyan athletes who win marathons all over the place. We see them, pictures of them breaking the tape, finishing the last few meters of their race, winning the prize. But we don't see them in training, when they have to go against the grain, when they have to push themselves a little more to try and improve their standing or their time, or they try to build up their muscles, or they try to conquer their laziness that maybe holds them back a little bit. All great athletes are people have to indulge an awful lot in controlling. When you learn to swim, one of the first things you learn to do is to control your breathing. And if somebody teaches you how to swim, they'll tell you, well, you have to breathe in when your nose comes up, and when you put your head under the water, that's when you breathe out. Because if you try to breathe in when your head is under the water, well, you won't last very long. And so all athletes have to control something, their breathing, their speed, their muscles. Something similar happens in the spiritual life. We have to try and control our bad tendencies. We have to learn to go against the grain. Present your bodies as a sacrifice, living holy, pleasing to God. When we wake up every morning, we have to try and control our desire to sleep a little longer. We all have a desire to sleep a little longer. We love our comfort. We don't want to move. And so St. Jose Maria talked about having the practice of the heroic minute, which should not become the heroic half hour. No? So that we try to get out of bed quickly in the morning. You were to imagine you wake up in the morning and then suddenly you feel something at your feet and you realize, oh, it's an insect, or it's a cockroach, or it's something else. Well, then you get out of bed pretty quickly. No? Or if you imagine there's a tiger or a lion in my bed, no? Well, you'd fly out of the bed very fast. Eh? So that sort of spirit, to learn how to conquer ourselves. And be not conformed to this world, says St. Paul, but be transformed in the newness of your mind, that you may discern what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Be not conformed to this world. We live in a world of indulgence. Every advertisement invites us to indulge, to do this, to taste that, to enjoy something else. Christ says the opposite. Try and learn how to say no. To say no to yourself, not to say no to other people, but precisely to control your appetites. And that's why in every meal, St. Jose Maria liked to recommend that we try to have some little thing where we say no to ourselves. We take a little bit less sugar, or we take a little bit less ugali, or we take a little bit less chapati, or a little less of what we like, a little more of what we don't like. That we learn how to go against the grain. And that, in many other areas also, is a great virtue to develop in our work. When we feel a little bit tired, or we feel a little bit lazy, or there's a job we don't like doing, well, to control ourselves, to control our likes and dislikes in those moments, and to get on with the job, get done what needs to be done. And so a very good habit is to do first the things that we don't like doing. Get the difficult things over first. And then we can enjoy our work, enjoy what we're doing. Thank God for the good things. And that habit of getting the difficult thing done first, or the thing we don't particularly like, well, can help us to develop a certain steel in our will, so we don't let ourselves off the hook. We don't just go for the easy thing all the time. If we were to do that, well, then we'd end up soft and flabby. When some difficult job comes along, or some difficult situation, we wouldn't be able to handle it. We'd collapse like a pillow. Well, our Lord wants us to be people with a backbone, with a certain strength and fortitude, know how to do difficult things and tackle difficult problems. So society calls this virtue by other names. It refers to it as self-control, self-discipline, self-mastery. We don't see those words written very frequently. We don't read them very often. But it's really important that we know how to have that self-mastery. There were two brothers that were speaking on the phone. One was in Chicago, one was in New York. Their father had just died, and one of them was giving them the news that our father has just passed away. And the other one said, "And what were father's last words?" And the other guy said, "Well, father didn't have any last words. Mother was with him to the end." And so sometimes we need to control our speaking, control our words, let other people talk. This virtue can be very closely related to personal toughness. To be tough on the inside, not tough with other people, but tough with ourselves. All top athletes have a great interior toughness. They've known how to say no to themselves. They've known how to conquer, to fight the good fight, to win the race. St. Paul talks a lot about that in our spiritual life. To learn how to practice virtues that we find difficult to practice, finishing things well, carrying on when we don't feel like it, being more attentive to other people around us in our place of work, try to practice a greater charity and kind words, kind actions, being thoughtful, being proactive, having a spirit of service, so that we become easy to live with. One of the great things we have to try and learn while we're in this house is to learn how to be easy to live with. Because we're kind and smiling, affable, cheerful, because we're attentive to other people. You see, selfish people who think about themselves all the time, well, they can end up grumpy and not very helpful and many other things that are not very sociable. And so this virtue of temperance can lead us to do a lot of great things. To dominate our own passions, our appetites, our feelings. And someday if the devil comes knocking, dangling a carrot in front of us, well, we need to learn how to say no. And sometimes the devil can be very convincing, or he can tempt us in all sorts of ways. We have to have the strength to be able to say no. And so this is the virtue whereby we have mastery over our lower inclinations, including the ever-present temptation to laziness. Just sit in a chair and do nothing. God hasn't called us to live a life like that. Not just to be doing things. He's given us a plan, a job to do, or certain duties, studies to get through, exams to pass, classes to attend. And there may be many days in our life when we don't feel like attending any class. But temperance helps us to fulfill our duty, control the temptations that may come to do other things. And so mastery over our lower inclinations is a wonderful thing. We conquer ourselves, that old person that is there deep down within us. St. Paul says to the Romans, "Now they who are according to the flesh mind the things of the flesh, but they who are according to the Spirit mind the things of the Spirit." Temperance helps us to say no to the body in order to say yes to the soul. Our soul that will live forever. Our souls are immortal. It's a wonderful thing to think about the immortality of the soul. Our soul will never die. This world and the devil leads us to focus very much on our bodies, to take care of our bodies. It's an important thing that we take care of our bodies, but in its place, we give priority to the spiritual, primacy of the spiritual. We try and treat our bodies in ways that is good for the soul, so that we earn merit in heaven. We make little sacrifices. We say no to ourselves. We fulfill that duty. And sometimes our duties may be very pleasant and enjoyable and fulfilling and developmental. But sometimes to fulfill our duties can cost us our life's blood. We might be asked late at night to do something or to help out in some job, or it might be raining and the water might be coming in the door, or there might be windows that are open and need to be closed. Now maybe it's 9:30 at night and we're about to go to bed and
we don't feel like going around closing windows or
blocking up floods that may be coming in or doing some other job that needs to be done. Well, it's wonderful in those moments to control our thoughts of self, our sleepiness, or our tiredness, and joyfully, happily, go and do whatever needs to be done. And really, every person who lives in a family has to function like that. Because in all families, there are things that need to be done late at night. There are unexpected little things that happen. There are people that come to visit when you don't expect them to come to visit. There was a little girl once, and they had some visitors for dinner, and the five-year-old little girl was asked to say the grace by her father to sort of show the visitors that she knew how to say grace. But she forgot her words, because the visitors there made her forget her words. And so the father tried to prompt her, say, well, just say what mummy says. And so she said, oh God, why did I invite so many people to dinner? So there may be times when we get ourselves into situations that we wish we hadn't got ourselves into. But then we have to temper our actions and our reactions. And so very often temperance is the basis of good manners. We control our words. We don't say things that don't need to be said. We learn how to say kind words, pleasant words to people, courtesy. Say please and thank you. Some of the most beautiful words in the English language are the words thank you. Everybody loves to be thanked. It warms the heart and warms the soul. If ever any time somebody says to you, oh, you don't need to thank me, you better make sure you really thank them. And for all sorts of little things that people may do for us, thank you. It's appreciation, it's courtesy, it's good manners. It's controlling our desire perhaps to keep silent or be grumpy or not thank somebody for this little thing. If we get into the habit of thanking people for every little thing they do for us, when they pass us the salt or when they pass us the water, well, that makes us appreciative, easy to live with. This person realizes this little deed I've done for them. And so it's in those things that we master our own inclinations. And that virtue helps us also to enjoy the good things in life. See, Christ doesn't want us to be carrying a cross all the time. He wants us to enjoy life. Our religion is not a religion of Good Friday. It's a religion of Easter Sunday. We are a people of celebration. We enjoy things. When Christ was alive, he also enjoyed things. He enjoyed the wedding feast at Cana. He took part in parties and little mealtimes with people. He enjoyed a good dinner with the apostles. So the virtue of temperance leads us to enjoy ourselves, but not to overdo it. Some of the greatest things in life are enjoyed in moderation. The one thing that Our Lady asked for in Cana of Galilee was alcohol. But we're not told that people were lying around the place drunk in Cana of Galilee. One of the craziest things in life is for people to get drunk. I read somewhere recently that it's such a foolish thing to get drunk. And people are such fools to begin with, that when they get drunk, they become even more foolish. And so moderation. God created alcohol. He created sodas. He created chapati, ugali, the good things that we enjoy, ice cream, or fruits, whatever it is that we enjoy. But we get our greatest enjoyment out of those things by taking them in moderation. Not indulging as though it was the last thing on earth that we needed to finish before we enjoy ourselves. Very often, gracious things come in small packages, small little things. And when we try to practice that virtue and take those things in moderation, well, it means we choose God in this moment and live according to my Christian vocation. I don't overindulge. And ultimately, it's from God that our gracious joys come, our gracious consolations, not from the material thing. And so, Lord, give us the grace to practice that moderation. And that helps us to be on top of life, on top of events, in control of events. We're not here to let events control us. So our humour doesn't have to depend on what the weather is like, or whether I pass my exam, or whether I'm doing well in this subject, or whether my boss or my supervisor is always smiling at me. We can have an ever-present happiness and cheerfulness, joy, deep in our heart and soul, because we're on top of life, because we're in control of events. And that leads us also to be a self-reliant self-starter. A self-reliant self-starter is a great sort of person to be. I'm given a job to do and off I go and do it. Can you do this? Can you do that? Well, in principle, yes. I don't have to conquer my laziness. Or I don't have to put a look on my face as though I just got up 30 seconds ago. No, I'm able to get up and go and do the thing and get the job done. And that person can rely on me, that I will do it well, that I will do it intelligently, that if I have a problem, I'll report back. I'll do it responsibly and get on with the job and use my intelligence and the talents and abilities to do the best job that I can do. Because I'm that self-reliant self-starter, I can be relied upon to do a good job. That I won't just go around the corner and collapse into the nearest armchair, no? Putting up a good picture or a good show, but then not getting the job done. And so this virtue of temperance is one of the indispensable qualities of leadership. Christ wants all of us to be leaders, leaders in society, leaders in our class, leaders among our peers, among our friends, in our village, in our neighborhood. Leaders are people who are in control. It's a character strength. Because we don't get swayed by the winds that blow, or by what the crowd are doing. We don't just follow the crowd. We lead the crowd. And if the crowd are going in a wrong direction, well, we know how to say no. We don't just follow the crowd if they're going over a cliff. Because we have certain criteria that we live by. We know what's right and wrong. And if the crowd are going to watch a bad movie, or going to get drunk, or they're going to do this or do that, are they going to cheat in an exam? Are they going to shoplift someplace? Well, we withdraw from those situations. Even if everybody else is doing it. Because we're in control. We know what's right and wrong, and we live by those principles. Great thing to have principles that we live by. Principles that we don't bend because of the winds that blow or because of what everybody else is doing. We might be a majority of one. We might be one against 100. Sometimes that one person can be right. And sometimes we have to be that person. And that's why God wants us to develop this virtue. So that we can be true leaders and lead people in the right direction. And there will be certain moments in your life when your friends or your family or maybe your children someday will come to you with important questions. Deep questions that will make a big difference in their life about decisions they're about to make. Will I have an abortion or will I not have an abortion? Will I steal this money? Will I not steal this money? Will I cheat in an exam or will I not cheat in an exam? You have to be the person there that gives them the right criteria so that they can do what is right. It's a great criteria in our life to never to do anything that is wrong. We do things that are wrong, we end up regretting it. Our conscience bothers us. And we may lose heaven for ourselves, which is the only important thing in this life to do, to get to heaven. And so very often the quality that we admire most in people is that quality of self-restraint, that they're in control. And because we're in control, we know how to fulfill the will of God as it comes to us. Sometimes to take up the cross, or to carry the cross, or to handle the cross that may come to us. St. Paul says, "But as for me, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom the world is crucified to me and I to the world." It came to pass that while they were there, that the days for her to be delivered were fulfilled. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Because Joseph and Mary were in control of themselves and of their lives, they knew how to be demanding on themselves to leave the comfort of their home and everything they had prepared and set out on a journey which they did not really know where it was going to lead, but they knew it was the will of God. And they encountered many contradictions and difficulties along the way. But then they found the stable in Bethlehem. And so the whole story is a story of temperance, of control. Control of the human things that lead them to savor the spiritual things, which are on a much higher level. And so we're told in the Gospel, seek the things that are above, not the things that are here below. If we indulge all the time in the lower material pleasures of this world, we'll never allow our soul to dance in the higher spiritual things. God wants us to exchange the lower things for higher things. He wants us to be spiritual millionaires. And so in the book of Sirach, we're told, do not follow the counsel of appetite. Turn your back on your own liking. Great advice. Learn to have some little mortifications that you do every day whereby you go against the grain. You go against your likes and dislikes. And so this virtue helps us to moderate the attraction of pleasures. It provides balance in the use of created things. That's a very useful virtue when it comes to spending money. Because someday we'll have a salary, we'll have money in our purse. We go to the supermarket or to some place and we might see all sorts of things that we'd love to have. The eyes are very good at picking out things that we would love to have. It might be something to eat, it might be something to drink, it might be something to wear. All those things we dream about. But those are very important moments then to exert a certain control. Or someday you might have a credit card. And the credit card can be jumping up out of our bag all the time, every time we see something we'd like to buy. So control in those moments is very important. There was a very famous philosopher in ancient Greece called Socrates. And one day he was walking through the marketplace where there were many things for sale. He wasn't often seen there because he was a very austere person and very virtuous. And people were surprised to see him walking through this place where there were so many things on sale. And so they asked him, "Well, what are you doing in this particular place? This is not the usual sort of place that you come to." He said, "I'm admiring all the things I don't need." Sometimes when we go shopping, we can see all the things that we suddenly need. And we can feel a great need to buy or to have. And so temperance ensures our mastery over our instincts, over our will to buy, over our deep desires, keeps us on a level that is honorable, keeps us in control of ourselves. And that helps us also to be always very focused towards what is good. Because the devil can lead us towards what is not good. Do not follow your inclination and strength, we're told, walking according to the desires of your heart. The heart is a very good thing, but it has to be ruled by the mind, by the intellect, which should function with the reason and will. The Old Testament says, do not follow your base desires, but restrain your appetites, so that we live sober, upright, and godly lives in this world. And so sometimes we may need to temper all sorts of things. We might need to temper our speaking. We might need to temper our silence. We might need to speak a bit more. We might need to learn new areas of our life that need this virtue to temper our activity, to temper our inactivity, temper our desires to sleep, temper our independence or our egoism. It all leads us to be a better person. And that's why it's called a cardinal virtue, a hinge virtue. A virtue very much related to purity, modesty, chastity. It helps us to control all those base desires. And so we could ask Our Lady that we might learn a little more about this virtue and learn how to put it into practice in concrete ways each day of our life. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me during this meditation. I ask your help to put them into practice. My Immaculate Mother, St. Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.